From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voanews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news, first the headlines. International Maritime Organization adopts guidelines on the handling of seafarer abandonment initiated by Indonesia, China, and the Philippines. President Joko Widodo discusses progress future plans of Indonesian U20 football team with Coach Shin. Now the news in detail. Guidelines on the handling of seafarer abandonment cases, which were initiated by Indonesia, China, and the Philippines in 2020, have been adopted by the International Maritime Organization, IMO, at its 110th Legal Committee session. The meeting took place on March the 27th until 31st at the IMO headquarters in London, England. Indonesian Ambassador to the United Kingdom and Permanent Representative of Indonesia at IMO, Desra Percaya, lauded the support of all IMO member countries for the adoption of the guidelines. As one of the countries with the largest number of seafarers in the world, Indonesia has a big interest in protecting seafarers, and he said in a statement released on Saturday that according to the statement, Indonesia's initiative to establish the guidelines proves the commitment of the government to improving the protection of Indonesian seafarers abroad. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and national football team coach Shin Tae-yong on Saturday discussed the progress of the U20 national team players and the future plans for developing their talent. Coach Shin Tae-yong said that there are a number of weaknesses which need to be improved, especially regarding the physical aspects and a little regarding the skills. However, there have been great improvement in the players' abilities, he noted. After talking with the coach, the president met the U20 national team to motivate them to not get discouraged, although their participation in the 2023 Federation International de Football Association FIFA U20 World Cup has been nixed. The national team became ineligible to participate in the World Cup after FIFA revoked Indonesia's hosting rights for the tournament, thereby cancelling the automatic qualification of the team for the tourney. Indonesian Investment Minister Bahlil Lahadalia reported to President Joko Widodo on Friday about the state of national investment in the first quarter of 2023 that had grown according to target despite the dynamics and global economy influence. Without elaborating on the exact figures of investment growth in the first quarter of 2023, Lahadalia also spoke of discussing regulations on the extension of some mining permits prospects. The Investment Coordinating Board has stated that investment during the January-December 2022 period was recorded at $80.6 billion. The investment in 2022 increased by 34% as compared to the previous year, and it generated employment for more than 1,300,000 people in Indonesia. Indonesia aims to generate $93.5 billion in investment in 2023. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Taiwan's Defense Ministry said 9 Chinese aircraft crossed the Taiwan Straits median line on Friday, carrying out combat readiness patrols. It happened days after Beijing threatened retaliation if President Tsai Ing-wen meets U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. China, which claims democratically rule Taiwan and its own territory despite the strong objection of the island's government, has been angered by what it sees as stepped-up U.S. support for Taiwan. Taiwan's defense ministry said the 9 Chinese aircraft crossed at points in the north, center, and south of the Straits median line, which used to serve as an unofficial buffer between the two sides. U.S. State Department said on Friday it plans to open an embassy in the South Pacific island nation of Vanuatu. This is seen as Washington's latest move to boost its diplomatic presence in the Pacific to counter China's growing influence. The United States has diplomatic relations with Vanuatu, which has a population of 319,000 spread across 80 islands, but is currently represented by diplomats based in New Guinea. The United States reopened its embassy in the Solomon Islands this year after a 30-year absence, and the latest State Department announcement follows a visit this month to the region, including Vanuatu, by U.S. Indo-Pacific Coordinator Kurt Campbell. Vietnam's central bank said on Friday it will cut its refinance rate by 50 basis points effective April the 3rd, bucking the regional trend as it maintains its focus on supporting economic growth amid global uncertainty. The State Bank of Vietnam, SBV, said the move would bring the refinance rate to 5.5%, while the discount rate remains unchanged at 3.5%. It follows the central bank's surprise decision earlier this month to cut several policy rates, its first policy easing since late 2020, after a series of interest rate increases. Vietnam's economic growth slowed to 3.32% in the first quarter from 5.92% in the fourth quarter of 2022. The decision reflected an uncertain global outlook, with inflation in several countries high and Vietnam's economic growth lower than had been anticipated, the SBV said, adding that domestic inflation was under control. Last item. Emirates News Agency on Saturday reported Emirati astronauts Hazza Al-Mansouri has become the first Arab to be appointed to the key role of increment lead for an international space station expedition. Since the Soyuz MS-22 spacecraft undocked on March 28, the historic Expedition 69 has marked a milestone for the Arab region and the United Arab Emirates. In addition to Al-Mansouri, the groundbreaking mission includes Sultan Al-Neyadi, the first Arab astronaut to embark on a long-duration space flight. As part of his duty as a lead, the Emirati astronaut will guide the ISS crew through every aspect of the mission, underscoring the United Arab Emirates' expanding contribution to the field of space exploration. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on Ministers of Finance and Governors of Asian Central Banks Meet Business Associations. Ministers of Finance and Governors of the Asian Central Banks met representatives of Global Business Association, namely the U.S. Asian Business Council, the European Union Asian Business Council, and the Asian Business Advisory Council in Bali on March the 29th. As quoted from the official statement of the Ministry of Finance in Bali Thursday, March the 30th, the meeting was organized by Bank Indonesia and the Ministry of Finance of the Republic of Indonesia. It was a continuation of the first series of meetings between the Ministers of Finance and the Governors of the Asian Central Banks. During the meeting, various important and relevant issues related to the ASEAN region came to the fore. They include the digital economy and macro, small, and medium enterprises financing, payment systems and their interconnectivity, sustainable financing, ASEAN taxonomy of sustainable finance, issues of food security and health funding. The meeting was chaired by the Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani and the Governor of Bank Indonesia Peri Warjio and attended by the Ministers of Finance and Governors of the ASEAN Central Banks and Business Associations representatives. Governor of Bank Indonesia Peri Warjio conveyed ASEAN's important role in the global economy. Along with the development of information technology, ASEAN is carrying out a digital transformation to continue to encourage economic growth, which is in line with the pillars of digitalization in Indonesia's chair in ASEAN. He further said ASEAN regional initiatives to payment system connectivity is a follow-up to the agreement with 5 central banks in the ASEAN or Southeast Asian region within the framework of regional payment connectivity. Meanwhile, the Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani stressed, apart from digital transformation, economic growth must be inclusive and sustainable. As an effort to achieve a low-carbon economy, ASEAN has also launched the second version of the ASEAN Taxonomy for Sustainable Financing, which is the first in the world. This has accommodated energy transition based on activity categories that meet the requirements for funding. In addition, it is necessary to strengthen collaboration in the health and financial sector by all parties in ASEAN, both from the government and the private sector, as an effort to deal with the potential for a health crisis in the future. The ministers of finance and governors of the central banks of ASEAN countries or the Southeast Asian countries also welcomed the cooperation that has been fostered between ASEAN countries and business actors in ASEAN in particular in order to support trade and investment promotion and strengthen ASEAN economic structure so that it can become a world growth center. That was Spotlight of the Week. I'll start today in history with April 2, 1946, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X was born. Bendoro Raden Mas Herjuno Darpito or Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X was born in Yogyakarta on April 2, 1946. He has been the king of the Sultanate of Yogyakarta since 1989 and the governor of the special region of Yogyakarta, Indonesia since 1998. After Paku Alam VIII died and through some debates in 1998, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X was appointed governor of the special region of Yogyakarta with a term of office from 1998 to 2003. During his tenure, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X was not accompanied by a deputy governor. In 2003, he was reappointed as governor of the special region of Yogyakarta for the 2003 until 2008 term, accompanied by Deputy Governor Paku Alam IX. Turning to April 2, 1967, First International Children's Book Day commemoration. April 2, 1805 is the birthday of the famous Danish fairy tale writer Hans Christian Andersen. Some of his works are The Ugly Duckling, The Little Mermaids, and Thumbelina. April 2 is designated as International Children's Book Day by the International Board on Books for Young People, which is an international non-profit organization that sponsors the commemoration of International Children's Book Day every year. I'll end today in history with April 2, 2008, World Autism Awareness Day is celebrated for the first time. 2008 World Autism Awareness Day was celebrated for the first time. The United Nations General Assembly set April 2 in 2008 as World Autism Awareness Day on December 18, 2007. In addition, the United Nations urged its members to increase awareness of autism in society. That was today in history.
VOI listener, in this segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply a letter from Chinmoy Mahato in India. In his letter, Mr. Mahato said his club will arrange a big radio exhibition and a radio listeners conference. Hello, Mr. Mahato. Hopefully, the event will be successful. We're really sorry because we cannot fulfill your request right now. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Here is the song.
Jagakan jodohku sebentar hingga ku siap jadi yang terbaik untukmu. Ku tak sehebat dirinya, selalu penuhi yang kau mau. Ku yang kan cukup di duniamu. Kau tahu ku takkan menyerah, benar ku terbiasa mengalah demi cinta ku padamu. masih milikmu.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on ANOC World Beach Games 2023, still to be held in Bali. Chairman of the Indonesian Olympic Committee, Raja Sabta Oktohari, on Wednesday in Jakarta ensured that preparation for the second ANOC World Beach Games or AWBG 2023 in Bali, which are scheduled to take place on August the 5th until 12th, are going well. According to Okto Raja Sabta Oktohari, his side continues to communicate with various parties, including the governor of Bali, Iwayan Koster. The implementation of the World Beach Games 2023 in Bali is in the public spotlight, along with the polemic that's occurred in the implementation of the 2023 FIFA U20 Football World Cup in Indonesia regarding the presence of the Israeli national team. With this polemic, concerns also arose about the implementation of the 2023 World Beach Games, especially since Israel was also included in the list of participants who qualified for the women's open water swimming number. Raja Sabta Oktohari explained that until now there have been no obstacles in the progress of Bali World Beach Games. He emphasized that in the spirit of sportsmanship, there is a term that will fight to the end, there is no term to lose before competing. The World Beach Games uses the National Olympic Committee Association statute, which has its own mechanism. If there are problems experienced on the field and it can be done flexibly. Because of that, Raja Sabta Oktohari is optimistic that the implementation of the third biggest sporting event after the Summer and Winter Olympics will run well, which is planned to be attended by around 1,500 athletes from 130 countries. That was My Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to emails which were sent from Bangladesh, from H.M. Tarek and also Faria Khanam Mumu. They wish Idul Fitr Mubarak 2023. Hello from Jakarta. Yes, Muslims around the world will celebrate Idul Fitr in April. In Indonesia, Idul Fitr or Hari Raya Idul Fitri is a holiday that is celebrated after the conclusion of the fasting month of Ramadan. Hari Raya Idul Fitri holiday period is also known as Lebaran. Lebaran is a series of public holidays that allow Indonesians to spend time with their friends and family members. Hopefully, at the time of Eid, we are in good health and peace, so we can celebrate it with full of happiness. Amin. Well, Mr. Tarek and also Faria Khanam Mumu, here is a beautiful song to brighten up your day. Enjoy!
Ini yang membingungkan.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
In Indonesia, where the majority of the population is Muslim, the holy month of Ramadan, or fasting month, is something that people are looking forward to. In North Sumatra, which has a variety of culinary delights, there is a special food as an iftar menu called Malay Spicy Porridge. Iftar, by the way, is the fast-breaking dinner usually together with family and friends after fasting from dawn to sunset. The ingredients of the spicy porridge include spices, guava leaves, sliced meat, and fern, anyang fern. Spicy porridge is a special menu for breaking the fast at the Al Osmani Mosque, which is located on Jalan Yosudarso, Medan Labuan District, Medan City. For residents around the mosque, this year's iftar is warmly welcomed because the tradition of distributing porridge has been stopped for almost 3 years due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Indeed, this typical Malay food is only served during the month of Ramadan and is made to be distributed to the community around the mosque. During the Delhi Sultanate in 1909, or under the leadership of Tuanku Sultan Makmun Al-Rashid Perkasa Alamsyah, this Delhi Malay spicy porridge was a special dish among the Sultanate. The taste of Malay Delhi spicy porridge is not inferior to porridge in other regions in Indonesia. Besides having a really good taste, spicy porridge is also considered healthy and warms the body because it is made from spices such as turmeric, black rhizome, cumin, lemongrass, and several other spices. Some vegetables are added, such as kale, ferns, kesum or laksa leaves, potatoes, carrots, and bean sprouts. Apart from that, what distinguishes the Malay Delhi spicy porridge from other porridge in Indonesia is the anyang fern, which are always a complement to the spicy porridge. Anyang, which is also a typical Malay menu item, is made from boiled fern leaves and served with roasted coconut spices. Usually, the mosque provides as many as 1,000 servings of spicy porridge every day during the month of Ramadan. Then, the portion is divided into two. The first is the spicy porridge, which is to be distributed, and the second is prepared for the congregation who eats directly at the mosque. The spicy porridge recipe never changes because it has been passed down from generation to generation. For the purposes of making this porridge, the mosque needs 30 kilograms of rice every day, 10 kilograms of beef, and approximately 15 kilograms of vegetables. Usually, not only spicy porridge is distributed to break the fast, but there are others such as cakes and dates. The spicy porridge is really spicy in taste, but not spicy hot, because the spicy taste does not come from chilies, but from the spices used for cooking. The spicy porridge is also believed to warm the body and has properties that can increase energy and maintain stamina during fasting. That was Indonesian Wonder today.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. From Indonesia.
Before we end our segment, Listener's Mailbag, I announce that Voice of Indonesia will be back to hold VOI International Quiz 2023. This year, the 2023 Voice of Indonesia International Quiz is in the form of an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations. This essay writing competition will open in May 2023. For those selected as winners, one person for each language service will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners. Well, listener, wherever you are, before I sign out listeners' mailbag, I will play a beautiful song. So check this one out.
Hari ini, esok, lusa, dan selamanya hanya ada kau di hati. Kau buatku serasa hidup dalam mimpi. Meski terjaga, tak ada setitik ragu. Hadir mengajakku pindah ke lain hati. Bersamamu hingga bumi tak bermentari, padamu ku berjanji. Oh, semerbak kasih kita mewangi selamanya, harum abadi lestari asmara.
Asmara,
oh,
my.
That was the third song of the day from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present you Miscellany.
Today's miscellany is on Indonesian students who won Harvard World MUN 2023 Award. The students from Indonesia, Adela Suwandi from Atmajaya Catholic University and Rifki Saputra from Jember University, won the Legal Committee Diplomacy Award at the 2023 Harvard World Model United Nations event in Paris, France. The simulation event for the United Nations Assembly is attended by more than 2,000 participants from 110 countries each year. On this year's occasion, Indonesia sent a delegation consisting of 9 students. Adela said this achievement was the result of hard work after 2 months of training and intensive simulation so that they became more focused on understanding various issues. Adela and Rifki, who were paired as double delegates for the legal committee, succeeded in outperforming 186 participants from various countries who competed in the same committee. The committee discusses issues related to non-self-governing territories or territories that do not have their own government. Adela and Rifki's victory in the 2023 Harvard World Model United Nations is the result of a long process. It was not enough to have knowledge and ability to convey arguments in English, which is not the main language in Indonesia, but both of them also have to compete regarding socialization and negotiation skills with foreign delegates who felt they were superior because perhaps their first language or mother tongue is English. Adela and Rifki played the role of the Turkish government. They discussed the extent to which the state in control of the territory could wield power. As delegates from Turkey, both of them were demanded to be able to provide a solution to redefinition and a neutral referendum that can be carried out under the supervision of the United Nations and several bodies under it in dealing with this issue. On this occasion, their techniques for writing documents, negotiating, lobbying, research, and their ability to express opinions were tested. That was miscellany.
Di dalam dirimu, sana, di sana.
Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a song from Jevin Julian. Jevin Julian, a producer, songwriter, and singer from Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia. He has released a new English song titled Free Falling, which is Jevin's second single released in 2023. This song tells about living life as best as possible and not expecting too much in anything, so that if the results do not meet our expectation, we won't be too disappointed. The song created by Jevin Julian with Kara Chenoa takes the elements of Jevin Julian's Snake Nectar electro dance beat. In line with the meaning of the song, the tone and lyrics of this electronic dance song also sound cheerful and seem to invite listeners to move freely without any burden. The music video Free Falling was released along with the song. This video is unique because the visuals are in the form of animation with colors that are very pleasing to the eye. Well, listener, here we go. A song by Jevin Julian, Free Falling.
The more I resist, the less I can take. Hold back the tears, they crash like wave. Fall into bliss the moment I wake and commit to this way of the breeze. Warm are the days I submit. The ache blows away with the wind of the trees. Lost in embrace, I'm finally free, I'm finally free.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Yeah. meski ku coba semua tak terjadi. Ku beri kau cinta tapi kau malah suka ku tawarkan nasihat kau hancurkan nasihat ini ke cinta yang pernah kamu janjikan tak kuasa ku tahan derai air mata ini
so much for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4750 kHz, streaming at voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fanpage The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at voi_official, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also our email voi@voinews.id. voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok, voi_official, and YouTube channel, VOI Official. That's a wrap, listeners. Today's program, English program from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.